South Africa's expanded definition of unemployment sits at a record high of 38.5% and is the biggest risk facing the country at the moment. That's according to President Ramaphosa as he faced questions in Parliament around tackling that crisis level and boosting growth, highlighting that interventions are in place with the next investment conference coming up in November. Treasury has in the meantime instructed government departments to draft plans to cut their budgets over the next 3 years. And Lumkile Mandi, who's senior lecturer at Wits University, he joins us on the line now with his reading of how the Ramaphosa administration is dealing with so many Achilles heels at this stage of the game. Look, Mkile, thanks so much for joining us this evening. We've had Ramaphosa's answers to major questions around where the economy is headed, having very little effect on the currency itself. Traders saying that the market is just not gullible enough to hang on to something so thin or precarious that the movie's been shown far too many times. Are you buying what Ramaphosa was selling today?
Not at all. Remember, it's been promises and promises. And also the reforms that are required really a very bold move by the president. And the giveaway was the failure of the president to implement the recommendation of his trust team around Eskom, where he bailed out of making those decisions, instead taking a safer route by limiting the role of the chief restructuring officer to just Eskom, rather than the restructuring of the broader energy supply industry. Therefore, it's going to be a plan that talks about what government will be doing, but giving very little to really steer confidence, both on the investor side, that, for example, the land issue is no longer a bigger issue given the levels of unemployment as well as the need to reassure investors. Secondly, the mining charter law, that law should really incentivize investors, particularly our foreign investors who have carried this industry from the 1800s. And lastly, that the NHI is a very good policy instrument in terms of ensuring that all of us have got access to adequate medical care. However, at this juncture, we cannot afford it because we don't have capability in the state to implement any program. Yeah. Therefore, we need to focus on incentivizing the private sector and encouraging them to invest as we build capacity on the state. So it's going to be promises, nothing substantial.
In fact, Moody's reiterating that today, saying that government just doesn't have much room to maneuver right now, looking at the budgetary constraints it faces. But the budget cuts could be a way to cushion some of that growing debt burden as a result of SOE bailouts, primarily to Eskom, as you've highlighted. How viable are those targets that's been set by Treasury? It's given these governmental departments a period of 3 years, beginning with a 5% cut expected to come to the fore 2020, 6% 2021, and 7% the year after.
Those cuts are really, for me, they're neither here nor there. The biggest question that South Africa faces is the growth program. Do we have a growth plan that will make investors invest in this country? More importantly, create opportunities. Because if our economy grows at least by 2%, we know that then our debt-to-GDP ratio will be going down at a much faster rate over a long period. If we grow in the next 10 years at 2%, we will really reduce our debt to about 30%, even if we continue on the current spending trend. So that's not the issue. The issue is create the enabling environment, build state capacity. They've done very well by employing Ms. Patohi, bringing SARS as well, leadership with Mr. Kiswetha. But the reality is by passing the National Credit Act Amendment Bill and making it a law, and when the banking sector is under a lot of pressure, what are you seeing in terms of them extending credit, which is very important for us to get a growth plan? So I hear all this. I think South Africa needs to focus more on the growth, and that growth requires South Africa to go bolder and suspend a number of these programs that are ambitious, that are unaffordable, by focusing on incentivizing and creating an environment that is so needed for us to keep investing investors happy and get the economy growing so that you can address unemployment, poverty and inequality.
And instead of offering bold solutions to, you know, growing the country's revenue in a bid to bolster government coffers, we've got government calling for a national dialogue instead on prescribed assets. We've had the president giving no sense of, you know, whether he supports it or not. Where do you see that conversation headed amidst it all?
We know very well that even if, let's say, we pass the 3% or 5% prescribed assets that people are talking about, the reality is that how do we spend that amount of money when you don't have capability? We all know that a number of our retirement industry, retirement fund industry, have got lots of money that they would like to invest on infrastructure. In an environment whereby the state controls everything, whether it's a road infrastructure, whether it's rail, etc., including electricity, how do they deploy those funds that they can deploy in that environment? So I think the government is trying to do too much, create the enabling environment, create certainty on land ownership, on mining, and more importantly, try and remove then deregulate those markets where state enterprises have got a huge administered burden on the economy, from energy to the ports to the rail structure. That's the issue. The other issues here, not there. I think you don't have to prescribe. Allow the environment so that these retirement funds can then go and do what they do best.
Absolutely.
Because they've got there's an environment that's positive for that.
Well, let's leave it there, Lumkile. Thanks so much for your insights this evening. That Lumkile Mondi, Senior Lecturer at Wits University.